In the brief time whilst Brother Rus read Romans 4 and shared a few thoughts, it just struck me very deeply that the meaning and purpose of a sermon is that God speaks directly to us and with us through His Word. That we do not merely stand or sit on the sidelines as uninvolved bystanders, watching or observing, but are actually addressed by God. His Word penetrates us, and we receive this Word, and then we believe it and are blessed. After the morning meeting, a very dear brother came into the prayer room and tears were streaming down his face. He said, more or less, that he wanted to serve the Lord completely. He wanted to be wholly consecrated to Him, not just to live, but to be truly at His disposal. And I believe that is the desire of us all. A new consecration to the Lord. To trust Him anew. To believe anew. To be at His disposal anew. But not just in words, but also in deed and in truth. There are, after all, many who would like to serve the Lord in comfort. And that simply will not do. Instead, the Lord says, whoever wishes to serve me must follow me and take up his cross, and so he can be my follower. And following the Lord will be similar to the path he himself walked, steep and often thorny. As a hymn writer sings, the path leads upwards. We must not expect that as children of God, we will be honored on this earth, that we will find recognition, that the whole world will praise us to the heavens. No, on the contrary, we will be as He was in this world. There is no other way to walk God's path. What is important, of course, as already mentioned, is that we actually feel that God speaks directly to us through His Word and through His Spirit. And then comes the certainty of faith, then comes confidence, then comes trust, and then an intimate fellowship arises between us and the Lord, a walk with God, as Enoch had it, and others did too. It is not that complicated. Walking with God is as simple as it is written here in this word. Nothing artificial, nothing self-made, but one remains as one is and serves the Lord with all one's heart and with all one's soul. There are people who would like to change themselves. Only God can transform us. All our resolutions are of no use at all. He makes all things new through the power of His blood, His Word, and His Spirit. Here we are glad that we can proclaim God's Word in all things, just as it is written. We have no doctrine of our own that we must uphold, that we must defend, that we must pass on. No insight of our own that we must polish now and then and adorn so beautifully. We have nothing at all but God's Word in every point and in all things. I mean, last weekend, a brother was here who rarely came, who had only recently started coming, and the very first thing he wanted to do was argue about the Sabbath. Well, I wouldn't dream of arguing about the Sabbath on a Sunday. I wouldn't even think of it, and I don't have any time for that at all, not in the slightest. I just need to read the Bible, and there really are relevant scriptures there. The Sabbath was ordained for the people of Israel as a day of rest and not for the nations. One must know this, But the trouble is that people have hobby horses they ride on, and with that they cannot be a blessing to anyone on earth. They can produce a few fanatics who follow their ideas, but true children of God, with a balanced faith, with biblical understanding, no, only the Lord can produce them. And then we follow Him and read that no one should pass judgment on us regarding the Sabbath and the new moon and so on. That is what is written in Colossians. I just wanted to mention that people pick out certain things, and then they even say that John was there on the Sabbath, that was the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is neither the Sabbath nor Sunday. The day of the Lord is the great and terrible day that will come after the day of grace, after the day of salvation. John was caught up in the Spirit on the day of the Lord and saw the things that would happen after the day of grace. What I'm supposed to do with that in a 24-hour day, be it a Sabbath or Sunday. And then people even go so far as to say that whoever does not keep the Sabbath has the mark of the beast. Then all you need to do is to put horns on such people and send them off. No, that is not how it is at all. These are teachings from the past, when no revelation had yet come, when the human mind was searching. But now it is not the human mind that is searching. Now the Spirit of God reveals the deep things of God and leads us into the Holy Scriptures. And as we have often said, there were indeed partial truths and partial insights, but now, thank God, there is a complete understanding and overview of His divine plan of salvation, so that we can confidently say with Paul, "We have declared unto you the whole counsel of God," and that in a balanced way, as is always right and proper. Now just a few passages from Holy Scripture, and then we shall pray. And I would like to say right now, if there are special prayer requests amongst us today, let us take God at His word in faith. Let us pray for one another. Let us anoint with oil and see what God does. God stands by His word. The preaching is not meant for us to come away empty-handed, but to experience and take with us what God has promised in His word. And if faith comes by hearing, and we have preached the word, what then should stand in the way of signs and wonders? Oh yes, God is still God. I believe it. And I believe that as Brother Branham once so beautifully spoke of the eagles that are lifted from the nest and taken out unto the prairie and then are happy and joyful. I mean, an eagle can fly after all, unless it is in a cage, and the cages have been opened. The denominations have opened up. We have come out and we are free. We can soar up to God in faith, and we can, as we have also heard, like Abraham, call things that are not yet as though they already were, and we do not look at the symptoms, not at the illnesses, not at the circumstances. We look to the Lord, who stands above all, and who has conquered everything, borne everything, and brought about a perfect victory on the cross of Calvary. This scripture from Romans 4 is also very important, that through the resurrection of Jesus we have received our justification. The blood has made amends for the damage, but through His resurrection we have been justified before God, redeemed, purchased, pardoned through the blood. I shall read this again from Romans chapter 4, from verse 23. Romans 4, verse 23. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification.
Und unserer Rechtfertigung willen auferweckt worden ist.
Wie oft How often have we said it here? If Christ had merely died and not risen, then we would know nothing. Then we would have no answer from God. But the resurrection was the crowning of the work of redemption, the overcoming of death, the victory over death, the devil, and hell. O death, where's thy sting? O hell, where's thy victory? And because he has overcome everything, we too can and will overcome everything through him who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. And that is why we can bear witness to it. As we are told in Colossians 3, let us read one or perhaps two verses. Colossians chapter 3, the first verses. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Beloved, I think it is always our brother who often says that we must believe God. When we read words such as these, we must believe God. We must allow ourselves to be addressed, take these words to heart, and believe God. We have died with Christ. We have been buried with him. We have risen with him to a new life. That must become a divine reality. And when can that happen? When we believe it from the heart. As far as faith is concerned, there is the word in the Gospel of John, chapter 5, which is of course the one most frequently used by all preachers. When people are called to Christ through evangelism, John chapter 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Amen. This is a short verse, but it says a great deal. It is enough to be saved. Praise be to the name of the Lord. But as I have just said, we must believe from the heart and allow God to speak to us through the Word, so that the Word may have its effect within us. Only where the Word is believed can God confirm it and bring about what he has promised in his word. From 2 Corinthians chapter 3, also very briefly, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 6, who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. I believe we can truly and honestly say that God has granted us the grace to harmonize and proclaim the Old and New Testament in a balanced way. One complements the other, one sheds light on the other, and together they constitute the whole revelation of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. We do not say that this or that is to be dismissed. We merely place it in its proper context before God. And that is why Paul writes, who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament. Elsewhere Paul writes, let a man so account of us as of ambassadors for Christ and stewards of the manifold mysteries of God. Oh yes, there are people on earth who are connected to God, who have been appointed by God, and have a specific task to fulfill a part of God's plan of salvation. And no one can place themselves in such a position unless God so decides. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, it says, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Paul was not referring to himself here. He was, after all, a servant of our Lord Jesus Christ. But when we bear witness to our Lord, then he will bear witness to the word and confirm it if we proclaim it in his name and according to his will. To encourage us in faith and prayer, let us read from the book of Acts, chapter 4, a story well known to all, the account of Peter and what God did after the healing of this man and what they had to endure. And then here in Acts chapter 4 from verse 24, it is written as follows. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Here they placed the omnipotence of God right at the beginning of their prayer and kept in mind that the God who out of nothing, out of absolute nothingness, spoke an entire universe into existence through the spoken word and called it into being. This Almighty God, who created heaven and earth, who spoke and it came to be, who commanded and it was there, to this Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth, they turned in their prayer with the expectation that he not only created heaven and earth and all that is in them, but is present now to reveal his omnipotence and to confirm that he lives and is present. And now let us read on. Who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage, and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. This brings to mind the thought, we must prepare ourselves for a very brief time of suffering. Not the great tribulation, we are not speaking of that, but a very brief time of persecution. I don't want to go into detail now, but you know, of course, what is so very much on the agenda at the moment. And the word order is being used these days as a concept extending far beyond the world, namely world order. Have you heard time and again in recent days, especially during the Gulf War, that President Bush speaks of this new world order, of the new world order? What is this new world order? Where is the capital of this world order? And who controls it? Where will it come from? Where is it heading? And we don't need to discuss this any further right now. Otherwise, I'll slip straight into that topic, and that happens very quickly with me. But we do indeed sense very clearly at the moment that it is no longer just Western or Eastern Europe or Asia or the United States. It is about incorporating everything globally. A world order, a global economic system, a world bank, the whole world is supposed to find its place somewhere. And that is precisely what is on the agenda. And I'm already writing another book at the moment, and it brings great joy to see the connections like this. One can only thank the Lord. He has truly given light at evening time. He has made clear what was unclear, revealed what was hidden, and made known connections that perhaps 10 years ago could not yet have been brought into alignment. But that can already be said now, and it is already taking shape. The first phase is now over in the Middle East, in the Persian Gulf. But now, Israel will be driven into a corner. Just as Hussein was cornered into leaving Kuwait, so now the nations, as it is ordained in the Bible, will come under the domination of Russia, the King of the North. And I touched on this in Zurich last Sunday. Every now and then, one must lay the map on the table and take a look at it. And it says the King of the North, and then even twice, from the far north, not just to the north. To the north lies a corner of Turkey, to the north lies Syria and so on, but the entire Asian part of Russia, with its roughly 50 million Muslims. In Russia, 50 million Muslims. We have only 1.7 million in the whole of Germany. France has 3 million. But 50 million Muslims live in the Soviet Union. And the Muslims are the deadly enemies of Israel. And so it will be an easy matter to organize the whole thing and march against the arch enemy Israel on that appointed day X. But then God will intervene and put an end to the matter from heaven. But it will simply come to pass that the whole world will turn against Israel. And it will also come to pass, as foretold in the prophetic word, that they will also turn against all believers who, on the one hand, do not belong to the Roman Catholic Church, and on the other hand, do not belong to the Protestant Alliance within the World Council of Churches. These will be undesirable elements. These will be the troublemakers. These will be the unteachable. And what did Brother Kupka tell me just a few days ago? Walesa in Poland has already announced on the radio that all aggressive sects are to be brought to an end. They find the right words to already set in motion what will eventually take its course and how things will then unfold. And since we know where the advisors come from and that they have all had the same training, we know what will happen among all peoples, tongues and nations. And I mean, we are not exactly stupid. Excuse me for putting it that way. We have the prophetic word. It is not man, but the word that provides insight. And here is the secret. No church in the world, not the Lutheran, not Calvin's church, not the Methodists, not the Baptists, not the Presbyterians, not the Anglicans, nor the Orthodox, nor whoever else there may be, has its ambassadors in all the lands of the earth. But there is one city-state, and that is the Vatican, and that is not only a religious power, but also an earthly power, a state within a state. Here in the city of Bonn, I've told you this before, it's the truth. I rarely watch TV because I have little time, but every now and then one has to keep up to date. And lo and behold, who was the very first to be allowed to speak at the New Year's reception when our federal president was to have the entire diplomatic corps line up? The nuncio was the only one allowed to speak. Everyone else was allowed to say amen once he had finished. The greatest political authority on this earth is the Vatican State, which has its ambassadors in over 100 countries, who are of course called nuncios and not ambassadors. But this allows it to utilize all political channels throughout the world, and all its representatives pass on through these political channels whatever is now to be instilled in these peoples. We are not blind. God has opened our eyes. We see not only the matter itself, but how skillfully it was orchestrated. And it was Mussolini who actually gave the Vatican State its status. You must read up on the Concordat. And then it was Hitler who joined him. And both did what they did in the name of the Roman Church to expand the East and incorporate it into the Roman Catholic faith. Now, everything is being done in a political manner. I didn't really want to bring this up. I just felt I had to say it. The danger will not emanate from our lands, but it will be unleashed at the appointed hour when God permits it. In Russia, in China, everywhere, the Vatican has its political representatives as a state, not as a church. And one must understand that. This revelation was given to me years ago. I believe it was in 1964, directly in the Vatican. I was in the Vatican 3 times. I have seen all that gold and silver and all those precious stones. I saw it. And then the guide said, "Ladies and gentlemen, you are not in Italy now. You are in the Vatican city-state. We have our own flag. We have. And he went on to say, "We are a state within a state. We are not in Italy now. We are in another country. We are in the Vatican city-state." Then it fell from my eyes like scales. Revelation 17. He is the 8th, yet belongs to the 7, is in their midst, shoots up like a horn. We shall write about it. Oh yes, God can give a revelation in the Vatican. One must simply be open to it. No, things are so clear and so plain before our eyes today. And God simply wanted it to be this way and has arranged it so that we can see through things. One more thing. When one reads Protestant commentaries, and they may well be the best on the market, one realizes that they have not entirely freed themselves from the Catholic spirit, mindset, and tradition. When they write about Peter, they do not write correctly. They assume that Christ made him, Peter, a chief stone and a rock, and that is not the case at all. And then their arguments fall flat, and they become prisoners of their own entanglement. One must have the starting point right, and only then can the direction and result be correct. Otherwise, they cannot be. It was not Peter who was the foundation, nor was Peter the cornerstone. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone and headstone, the foundation and all in all. Peter was a stone, and we are also living stones, being built up unto a holy habitation of God in the Spirit. But surely the church is not founded on Peter, and yet renowned Protestant theologians write that the Lord built the church upon Peter. I renounce such a church. He founded the church upon himself, the rock of salvation. Peter was merely a man of the early days whom God could use. But as I said, if these theologians have absorbed so much tradition, cannot free themselves from it, and it remains in their thinking, how can their exposition be of the slightest use to people or provide any insight? You don't have to read far, and you can't anyway. You have to put it aside, because you get angry inside and ask yourself, why did I even write it? But as I said, the time wasn't right yet. But now things lie before us quite clearly and truly. No one needs to interpret anything anymore. We just need to open our eyes, and then we'll see it. Forgive me for straying off topic. Now back to Acts 4. It says here in verse 28, "For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done." So that is what it is about, that the divine counsel be brought to fulfillment. Verse 29, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy servant Jesus." This is a prayer from the very beginning, an early Christian prayer. And so we too, in these days, when all things are coming to an end, can pray as they prayed back then. Stretch out your hand to heal. Even today, at this hour, we can pray together, just as the early church prayed to God, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy servant Jesus. Who knows why the word servant is used here, and not son, or child, or some other term? Why does it say here, "May be done by the name of thy holy servant Jesus"? You need only read Isaiah 42. "My servant, in whom my soul delighteth, who will carry out all my will, he shall not grow weary nor faint." You can read about it in Isaiah 42 from verse 11. And then it says here, let us just read verse 1, Isaiah 42, verse 1. "Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. Today we mentioned the two scriptures, Matthew 3 and Matthew 17. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Here we are told, in whom I am well pleased. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth justice unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set justice in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. One could read on here. So we see that the men of the New Testament have incorporated the entire Old Testament into their description. Every aspect found in the Old Testament relating to our Lord has then been used in the New. You can read the second part from verse 6. I, the Lord, here is the word Yahweh, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord. That is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. One can read these passages again and again in the Old and New Testament. Lord, stretch forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy servant Jesus. The Lord had to become a servant, as Paul explained. He took on the form of a servant. He laid aside his divinity, became like us, and he said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Here, in verse 31, it says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. May it be so today. We sang in that one hymn, dark clouds are gathering, and we do not wish to frighten anyone, but time is running out for the Church of the Nations. And it is necessary, whoever wishes to dedicate their life to God must do so today. Tomorrow it may already be too late. Whoever wishes to live with God, let them begin today. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. The enemy will always say, tomorrow, you still have time, it's not that urgent yet, and so on. Do not listen to this voice that seeks to deter you with all manner of arguments. Listen to the voice of the Lord, for it is written, today, not tomorrow. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Now a word to those who are suffering, who are ill. It is not merely hope, but confidence, and healing is provided. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement was laid on him so that we might have peace, and by his stripes we were healed. So we believe it, because it is written. And whoever today, without effort, has received this living faith as a personal revelation from the Lord through the sermon may come and be prayed for, and we can guarantee them the miracle of healing from the Word of God. Here, after all, is not a man who mixes an ointment, performs some act, and promises healing. Here no healing is promised. Here healing is experienced and taken home. It has already been said in the Old Testament and in the past tense, He was wounded for our transgressions. He took upon Himself our infirmities and pains and so on. And today, looking back on Golgotha, we may truly say, He was wounded. He was bruised. Our infirmities were laid upon Him. He bore them as the man of sorrows. So it is written, and so we believe it. And because He bore our infirmities in His body to the cross, healing has been granted to us by grace. And whoever is granted this today through revelation, let them not expect an empty promise to take with them on their way. Let them expect from the Lord the confirmation of His holy word and healing of body, soul, and spirit, whatever it may be. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can we say amen to that? Amen. He is risen. He lives. All things change, but Jesus never. Glory to the Lamb. May living faith have been wrought within us through the Word. There is no need for miracle workers to appear here. All that is needed are people with this living faith, which has come from the Word, from the sermon, to come and take the miracle of healing with them. I believe it was Sister Natalie who told us last night that a sister who had such poor eyesight, and you know, some people have really extremely poor eyesight, and God healed her on the spot. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. One must simply believe as the scripture says, and not doubt, but believe and expect nothing other than healing, and then it will be granted to us. Blessed and praised be the name of the Lord. Amen. Let us stand and sing together, just as I am. And whoever is led by the Lord may come to the front so that we may pray together. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, quite a few have come. This is truly God's holy word. No man has spoken it. The Lord has spoken it. And we as human beings, or as ministers of the word, have received the commission from the Lord Himself to go into all the world, to preach the gospel, and to pray for the sick. That was the last question I asked Brother Branham when I was with him, whether I too have the right to pray for the sick. And he said word for word, Brother Frank, everyone who has been called to preach the gospel is called to pray for the sick. This great commission cannot be separated. I shall read it from Mark 16. Here it says, in verse 14, Afterward, he appeared unto the 11, as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart. Do you see, it is unbelief and hardness of heart. He rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So it is written here. That is what the Lord said, and that is what we believe. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth, and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word, with signs following. May the Lord work with us today, and bring about signs and wonders. And now, for your further edification, and to strengthen your faith, someone came to Brother Branham and said, the text you have referred to in Mark 16 is not inspired at all. And Brother Branham, having received quick-wittedness from the Lord, said, if God could perform such great signs and wonders through an uninspired text, what will he do through the inspired text? See, but we believe that the whole Word of God is inspired, breathed in and out by the Holy Spirit, and we accept it wholeheartedly and believe it. Beloved, do you all have physical ailments? I don't know if we can lay hands on so many of you, but you do believe with all your heart. You believe with all your heart. Yes, then it must happen. Then it must happen. Why don't you all take one another by the hands now? You are standing right there, and we will offer a joint prayer before the throne of grace of our God. Together we will sing Only Believe with all your hearts. The whole congregation sings along. Lord, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth, we are not dealing here with human beings or words of men, but with you, the one true God, and with your word, with the redemption that has come through Jesus Christ. Lord, we come to you now and believe that in these moments you confirm your word as true. Stretch out your arm and cause signs and wonders to happen through the power of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, all demons must depart. All diseases are healed by the power of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. It has already happened. Hallelujah. Give thanks to the Lord. Praise His name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is finished. My Jesus has set me free. Whether on land or sea, in joy or sorrow, where Jesus is, there is glory. Hallelujah. It is finished. My Jesus has set me free. Whether on land or sea, in joy or sorrow, where Jesus is, there is glory. Heavenly Father, You, the God of all grace and all comfort, You see us gathered here before Your face. We thank You for this weekend. We thank You for Your word, for Your blood, for Your Holy Spirit, who is at work in our midst, in our hearts. Together we thank You that You have chosen us, taken us aside, and made known to us the mysteries of Your counsel. We thank You for this. You have given us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts to believe. Beloved Lord, lift up Thy countenance upon us, and grant us Your blessing and Your peace. Lead us in the right path for Your name's sake, and may Your will be done in our lives. To You, Almighty God, be praise and honor, glory and worship, now and forever. Hallelujah. Amen.